On today's episode of the Trending 55 Hot Seat, we welcome a guest who's making his debut, and it's someone who's the minister of a file that affects every single Albertan. And that is the health file, Minister Tyler Shandra. Welcome and thanks for being on today.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
It's wonderful. All right, great. So first question I have, Minister, is that anyone who's in charge of the health file knows it carries arguably the most public attention and pressure that can come with it. So what made you want to take on that challenge when the Premier approached you in 2019?
Well, because it affects every Albertan. My dad was a doctor as well. I think, especially here in our province, you know, when people talk about their experience with the health system, in our hospitals and primary care, like our community physicians, I think Alberta is second to none. But there are a lot of areas where we need a lot of improvement. Our ground EMS, our continuing care system, home care, our scheduled surgeries, and for us to be able to work with the amazing healthcare providers of the province to try and move the ball forward and improving those areas of the healthcare system is so rewarding.
Yeah, absolutely. And also as well, Minister, is there a specific area of healthcare that you're passionate about? Not to minimize any other important areas, of course, but is there a certain area where you're like, I'm really passionate about that specific aspect of healthcare?
Well, it's two. You know, the surgical initiative, how do we improve our scheduled surgeries? Too many people are waiting way too long, throughout the entire country, but including here in Alberta. I think it's time that we got surgeries done within the certain amount of time that doctors have decided that's the right amount of time. Most of them should be done within 4 months. So that's one of them. And then even before the pandemic, and the pandemic's really shone a light on long-term care. But we started in 2019 a review of continuing care, including long-term care and designated supported living, and to change the legislation and just allow people to age in place, allow spouses to live together. There's so much that can be improved. So that's been a passion of mine too, but especially with the pandemic, how do we make sure that we protect the most vulnerable?
Now, Minister, I know one of the things that you would that was talked about was contracting out some surgical procedures to private facilities. And I know the big question is that we've heard the NDP say things like a two-tiered healthcare system, but I guess the most important question is let's say I have a surgery that I need, to give an example here, that would be done in those clinics. Will I have to pay any money up front for that?
No, and that's exactly why they're not private clinics. I mean, sure, they're independent providers. They're independently owned and operated. They're not owned or operated by AHS, but they're integrated in our healthcare system. They're managed by AHS under contract. They're not a parallel system at all. We already have 43 of them in the province. So that's why I don't call them private clinics. They are independent providers, though, and they're an important part of us to be able to have that surgical capacity throughout the province and how we can increase that surgical capacity. But we also do need to increase the capacity of AHS in our publicly owned hospitals too, which is why we invested in Budget 20 over $100 million in those operating rooms as well. So
yeah.
It's not just those facilities, but they're going to be an incredible part of it.
All right, great. Well, glad you were able to clear that up about not having to pay for surgeries, which is good news for everybody, of course. And also in September, you announced a $20 million investment into end-of-life care. And, of course, our local MLA, Peace River Dan Williams, is working as a consultant along with you in that. And I guess one of the things I'm looking at the end-of-life health care is that I remember during that press conference, she asked you if there was an opportunity to expand it to rural residents up here who maybe don't have the same access to end-of-life care like they do in rural centers. So I guess the big thing is on that particular file, what kind of progress do you have that you could tell us about, and when do you hope that maybe an announcement on the remaining $14 million could be forthcoming?
Well, thank you, and fantastic question. Dan has been doing great work. My understanding is that the pandemic is making it a little bit tough to do public engagement, but he's still managing. He's still meeting with people across the province. I think those consultations will be done maybe in February, and then there's a report that we'll be expecting by May. But I'll also say this. I mean, Dan has been just such a fantastic advocate and colleague. He has really good ideas on this file that even after that report, we're hoping to continue to engage him when it comes to continue to hear from communities, especially rural communities, on how to expand palliative care continuing to be something of an advocate or liaison for this file.
And as well, I also understand that as part of the initial $6 million investment that was announced back in September, there's also another component that was announced that includes some online. So assuming that they have access, it's like opening it up virtually a little, one of the goals of the department in making palliative care more accessible.
Well, for supports for families and for supports for those who are who need palliative care, that was part of some of those initial grants. But obviously that will help people who are in remote areas of the province. But it's also just going to be about making sure we're really making investments in the outside of hospital opportunities for palliative care for patients and the loved ones who are helping them through those difficult times. But no, you're right. Online supports is going to be part of it.
Awesome. Oh, great. I know that's a very important issue up here to people in the Peace and Mackenzie region. So, no, they're glad to hear about that. And coming on the vaccine seas, we know it's terrible news that shipments to Canada were being halted as plant in Belgium undergoes maintenance to increase capacity, and that's, I believe, the Pfizer one. And some provinces are deciding to space out the initial dose and booster by over 21 days, which studies say could reduce the effectiveness of the whole process. So does your ministry feel that going beyond the recommended 21 days of the shots would be risky in terms of immunizing people, and that's kind of why it slowed down a little bit?
No, actually. So the research has been for anywhere between 21 to 42 days. There actually is evidence showing that 42 days might actually be more effective than day 21. Now, we're not going to delay it beyond 42 days, just because there's no evidence beyond 42 days. So we think that would be then too risky to go beyond what the evidence and the research has been doing. So we'll keep it at 42 days, but there doesn't seem to be any evidence of any risk of going beyond 21 days to and extending it to 42.
All right, awesome. And also as well, we know this is a special story up here. Young Mighty Max has captured the hearts of a lot of people, not just in our region, but around Alberta, the young man that's fighting a very rare condition. And we know that our Member of Parliament up here at Peace River Westlock MP, Arnold Pearson, had sent you a letter asking if there is something that the Ministry of Health can do. So number one, have you had a chance to see that letter? And number two, is there something that could happen here for Young Mighty Max?
Well, first of all, Arnold is, as well as his colleague, Tom Kimmick, who is the member for Calgary Shepherd, they've both been really passionate advocates for rare disease medications and kids who suffer from rare diseases and what we've got to do to expand coverage and expand the treatments that are being provided for them. Through working with Tom and Arnold, we actually expanded coverage for Spinraza. In 2019, we have been talking to Novartis, who is the manufacturer of Zolgensma. We think that we're going to have an announcement very soon related to that issue. But the conversations with Novartis have been going well. I can just want to thank Arnold publicly for his advocacy on this issue.
All right, excellent. Now, Minister, or I guess because we always do it, not sure if any of your other colleagues told you this, when you come on the hot seat, we usually like to throw a couple of personal questions out there. So kind of take it away from the role as a health minister, from Kenny Trenton to Tyler Shandro. Tyler, what are some of the things you like to do when you're not health minister, assuming you actually have a few hours to sleep?
Well, when you have kids and you realize that you don't have a lot of time for other hobbies, so most of what we end up doing is just stuff we can do as a family. So usually this time of year, except for this year, I suppose, with COVID, we're usually skiing at various ski hills. But it's usually like being a hockey dad and skiing with kids. It's I don't get a lot of time other than making sure that I'm taking care of those two. They're 10 and 12 years old now, so they're a handful.
Okay, so so now that you're involved with athletic abilities, are they pretty good athletes, and did they get it from you?
Well, I don't think they got it from me. They probably got it from their mom, and I don't have a lot of coordination. Everybody said that I had hands of stone when I played hockey. I was an okay skater, but I definitely couldn't put the puck in the net very often.
That's why I became the goalie. Number one, I'm about 5'1", which also kind of counteracted with the amount of space in the net. And also, but it was really because they said, you know what, kid, you really can't skate, but you seem to be on the right position all the time to stop the puck. So you know what, we're gonna put you in there. And let's just say that at the end of the year, my mask, probably because of my height, had more black rubber marks on it than any others. I don't know how many shots I took off the mask, and sometimes I still hear it to this day. But at least you got the young guys to keep you young. Minister, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you for joining us today, and we really hope to have you on in the future again at some point.
Well, thank you so much. Love to come back.
All right. This is Health Minister Tyler Shandro making his debut on the hot seat, and we'll talk to you again real soon.